From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into this week's edition of Inside the Parker. Rob Parker here, you there. Two-time World Series winner David Justice is coming by. Plus, we'll talk to the Athletics' Julian McWilliams about the A's surging. That and much more. Let's go.
Batter up.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
I know it's early, but we have a whale of a National League MVP race on our hands between Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers and Christian Yelich of the Brewers. They are tearing the cover off the ball. Can I give you some numbers? As of Tuesday, Bellinger, 383, 19 home runs, 49 RBIs, and he's number one in the majors in RBIs, runs, OBP, slugging, OPS, hits. He's been incredible for the Dodgers. That's why they're off to such a great start. The Dodgers, of course, are 36-18 as of Tuesday, had won 8 of their last 10, and had a 4-game winning streak going. But Yelich has also been lethal, batting .322, leads the league in home runs with 21 and 44 RBIs, and great numbers across the board as well. Slugging percentage, he's number two in the majors and number two in OPS. And Milwaukee's out to a good start, 31-24. And the Milwaukee Brewers and the Dodgers both off to great starts. These two guys are going to slug it out. I know it's not even June yet, but it's going to be hard for anybody else to get into this race with the way Bellinger and Yelich have started the season.
Number two.
We had some sad news in Major League Baseball this week with the passing of Bill Buckner at the age of 69 from dementia. Buckner, of course, was a really good, very good baseball player who had over 2,700 hits. People remember him. He started out with the Dodgers. He also played for the Cubs and, of course, with the Red Sox. And a lot of people are talking about how great he was and, unfortunately, how most people think of him about that play in 1986 in Game 6 of the World Series. But to be honest, it might not be the thing that his whole career is about because he was a really good baseball player. But it's impossible for people not to think of Bill Buckner and this play.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the bag!
When he misplayed that ball through his legs and the Mets were able to win Game 6 and ultimately Game 7 and win the World Series, that's one of the most infamous plays in the history of sports, not just baseball. So people can remember that, but just remember it's not the only thing about Bill Buckner, but it will be hard for people to dismiss that.
Number three.
85-year-old Hall of Fame outfielder Hank Aaron might be long in the tooth, but he's still hammering away. And on Friday, he said that he supports athletes who use their platform to speak out about social and political issues, adding that he would not, N-O-T, visit the White House today if he were a part of a championship-winning team. Quote, "There's nobody there I want to see," said Hank Aaron to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Bravo to Hank. You would think that maybe, you know, a guy from his era would just fall in line, respect the office, and not feel like that would be proper to do. But in this case, I think everybody has a right to make their own decision on what they want to do, pro or con. And Hank Aaron, one of the greatest sluggers we ever saw, don't forget those 755 home runs, just hit another home run in my eyes.
Here comes the big interview. listen, and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome in David Justice, the former National League Rookie of the Year in 1990, and of course, two-time World Series champion, and played for about four teams in the Major Leagues, mostly with the Atlanta Braves. But Dave, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
What's going on, Rob? Nice talking to you, brother.
You already know, Dave. No doubt about it. One of the sweetest left-handed swings I ever saw. What are you doing now? We haven't heard from you. Where you at?
Hey, Rob, man, you know, I'm just living the family life, man. My wife, been my wife 19 years. We got our oldest son who's in college now at San Diego State. He's a redshirt freshman playing football. And then we got our other son who's a sophomore in high school up here at Bishop Alemany in L.A. And then our daughter is our little aspiring actress. So she's been on Disney, Andy Mack, Ricky Diggy, Nicky and Don. So she's trying to make her path in that world. So just running around with the family, Rob.
Very nice. Nothing wrong with that. But I want your take on Major League Baseball as we talk about it right now. With the strikeouts and the home runs and where it is, do you look at it and can you believe like how strikeouts are okay now and where the game is headed? You don't see as much stolen bases. Do you like where the game is?
Well, it's just a different game, you know, and the game evolves, right? I'm sure when I was playing, the game was different than it may have been in the 40s, right? So the game has a way of evolving, and it's not going backwards, brother. The analytics, the angles, all that stuff is not going back. So as long as they don't care about the strikeout and they have numbers to support it, then they're going to continue to play the game the way it is. But to me, that's not winning baseball, especially if you've got a really good pitching staff.
And Dave, I'm glad you brought that up because here's my biggest problem. Baseball, they're following the Oakland A's lead with all the analytics, but what have they won? They haven't won anything. When you look at the teams that win, they usually have the best players, right? And they have all kinds of, like the Boston Red Sox and teams like that. I know that they use analytics, but the A's shouldn't be, you know, what teams are trying to model after.
I just know that when you have a really good pitching staff and, you know, these guys don't give, you know, the great pitchers don't give up more than three runs in their starts, right? So if all I need to do is get the three runs in order to win a ball game, and in the first three innings I get my leadoff man on with a double, and all I got to do is move him over to third, then my next guy just needs to hit a ground ball. We've got three runs now in the first three innings, and we got a pitcher who has an earned average of a 2.2. I like those percentages much better, you know, and that's how we were built in Atlanta. I mean, we knew how to manufacture runs. And no matter where you hit in the lineup, like I would hit anywhere from third, fourth, fifth. But if Fred McGriff led off the inning with a double, I was giving myself my next at bat. I wasn't trying to hit a ball to left field. I was trying to hit a ground ball to second base to move him to third base so that Javier Lopez could get him in with one out. That, to me, is winning baseball. And I see it now. I see teams that play for the home run, you know, and I see many of potential rallies thwarted
right
because of that type of approach.
What about, speaking of the Atlanta Braves, the new Atlanta Braves, they got a lot of young players on that team. Is there anybody you really like on that team that you've seen? Because, you know, they made the playoffs last year and they're good.
Well, you got to like Acuna. I mean, Acuna Jr., you got to like. How can you not like him? But they got the young kid just got called up, Austin, I think Riley. He looks promising. And, you know, they got the right guy, though, as manager. Their manager is Brian Snicker, who was my manager in A-ball when I played.
Wow.
And, yeah. He was my manager in A-ball.
What is he good at, Dave? What makes him a good manager?
One is he's hard-nosed. And he's hard-nosed with everyone. One, he knows the game. Two, he's hard-nosed. He won't play favoritism, right? But three, he has a great way of relating to the players. You know, he knows when to smile and he knows when not to smile. And he has rules that you will abide by, or he's like Bobby Cox. They don't play around. They don't mess around. And, you know, when you win, it's because of the team. When you lose, it's always because of something the manager did. And I think that him coming up with the Braves and being in the Braves organization for a long time, you know, he understands how the Braves do it. Sat there and watched Bobby, you know, on the peripheral, and I think that, you know, he's the right guy.
Speaking of the Braves, and I've always said this, the Atlanta Braves had an unbelievable run, which you were a part of, but you guys didn't win enough. I mean, you didn't win multiple World Series. You had three Hall of Fame pitchers on the same staff, Smoltz, Glavine, Maddox. When you look back, do you feel like you guys missed an opportunity to really dominate? I know you won the NL East a lot, but I'm talking about to win more World Series.
Oh, wait, listen, we had the opportunities. You're right. But let's not forget Toronto Blue Jays went back-to-back in 92 and 93. So, yeah, we were good. But Toronto showed that they were better than us. Okay? So, yeah, we were good now. In 1991, it was the one World Series I really thought that we lost, to be honest with you. I thought that we were a better team than the Minnesota Twins, and we made some mistakes. I thought that definitely hurt us. I mean, in Game 7 with the second and third, nobody out, Rob, with Gantney and Sid Bream coming up, and Ronnie hits down ball to first base. Nobody scores. They walk me intentionally. And then Sid Bream hits into an inning double play. That was the eighth inning.
Wow.
You know, we lost that World Series in extra innings. So if we get one run across in that inning right there, we win that World Series.
Tell me about this. So, you won a World Series in Atlanta, right, in 95, and you won one with the Yankees in 2000. In fact, you were the ALCS MVP in 2000 for that Yankee team.
Right.
Which one was sweeter as far as winning? Was there a difference? I know that's hard.
Atlanta.
Winning is great. Atlanta.
Atlanta was, meant more because it had never been done. It still hasn't been done. So that meant more. When I won the Yankees, it was their 26th, I think.
Right, right.
So they had a lot under the belt.
No,
but Atlanta, and then Atlanta, you know, to hit the home run, to be the deciding run of the World Series in Game 6, that makes Atlanta's World Series definitely more special. But I will say this. You can't win on a bigger level than winning in New York when you win a World Series. Rob, I think the lights are brighter. Lights are brighter, more media, more focus, more everything. And it was a Subway Series, which made it kind of special and different. So the one with the Yankees was, and then the parade in Manhattan, I mean, that was incredible.
Right.
But I think the meaning of the Atlanta Braves winning 95 and everything we had gone through, we had already lost two, you know. And we almost had to win that one. They were calling us the Buffalo Bills of baseball. And, you know, we had a lot of that pressure surrounding that team. And to finally get one, it just shows you how hard it is to win them, Rob, I'll be honest with you. It shows you how hard it is to win a World Series. It's hard to win a championship. I was talking to Chris Paul the other day. He don't have one yet. And they mean something, Rob. When you retire, they mean something to the guys. And you know, his window is closing. But they're hard to win, brother.
No doubt about it. His name is David Justice, 305 career Major League home runs, 279 lifetime batting average, one of the sweetest left-handed swings I ever saw. Dave, thanks for joining us on the podcast, man. Appreciate you.
Rob, anytime, bro. Always a pleasure, man. Let's get up. Let's catch up, okay?
All right, let's do it.
All right. Okay, brother.
Thanks.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got for me, Anthony?
All right, Rob. With the rise of StatCast, you've likely heard the term spin rate thrown around when talking about certain pitchers. Now, what is that exactly? It's measured in revolutions per minute. It's the rate of spin of a pitch after it's released. Now, the higher the spin rate, the more likely a pitcher will be to generate movement, making the pitch more difficult to hit. Spin rate can tell you a lot, but context is necessary. Take two four-seam fastballs, one with a league average spin rate of about 2,300 revolutions per minute, and one with a higher spin rate. Brad Keller of the Royals throws a four-seamer with exactly league average spin rate. The league gets about 270 off that pitch. Now, the same pitch out of the hand of Justin Verlander, whose four-seam spin rate is nearly 2,600 RPMs, second highest of any qualified pitcher, has the league hitting just 222 off the pitch, a 50-point difference. You can also find out more from spin rate than just movement. If a pitcher's spin rate drops off significantly as he goes deeper into the game, he may be getting tired, and the manager can prepare to replace him better than just using the eye test or rigid pitch count. Now, also, massive changes in spin rate can also be the first sign of an injury. It may need some context, but spin rate is a fantastic new tool to evaluate pitchers.
Anthony, I don't know. I'm always out of the spin zone, but we'll check it out.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
Longtime Boston Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia, who's been hurt basically the last 2 years and isn't sure if he's going to play baseball again. But there are some now who are saying his numbers line up with the late, great Kirby Puckett for the Hall of Fame. JR, is it foul or fair?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
So foul. Well, I respect everything that Pedroia has done in the game, Rob, from helping the Red Sox break the World Series curse to winning an MVP in 2008. Pedroia's career fell off a cliff in his last three seasons. He hit, seven homers and 63 RBIs over his final three seasons. He has none of what you, Rob, call the magic numbers. 140 career homers. Didn't even hit 300, 299. 1,805 hits. He had Hall of Fame moments, but he's no Hall of Fame player. Now, he's a Red Sox Hall of Famer, but when compared to a Kirby Puckett, who some say, you know, has similar career numbers, there's no comparison. Puckett finished his career strong in his last two seasons. He hit well over 300. He had, 112 and 99 RBI, 43 combined homers over those 2 years. He started and finished as an all-time great. Pedroia was a clutch, hard-nosed player, four-time All-Star, two World Series. But I can't find guys with his numbers. Being a second baseman helps, but he doesn't even make the top second baseman of all time. You got Sandberg and Alomar and Carew and Morgan, Robinson. These guys were beasts, and they had at least 2,000 hits. Pedroia isn't in that class. He's a cut below, but he's a legend in Boston, no doubt.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week. Number three.
Minnesota Twins. As of Tuesday, they were 36-16. They're playing great ball. How about this? After achieving not a single eight home run game in the past 55 seasons, the Twins haven't done it once, but twice already in 2019. And it's before June. Everyone's talking about the offense, and rightfully so, but Minnesota's pitching has been surprising, that's a reason that they've been dominating. So they have Martin Perez is 7-1 with a stingy 2.98 ERA. The Minnesota Twins are for real.
Number two.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. I know people think they belong in the top spot. Not yet. Cody Bellinger, what are you doing? Leads the National League in WAR. The Dodgers' pitching has been off the charts. They just continue to roll. They've been steamrolling everybody at Dodger Stadium. They have an impressive, as of Tuesday, 20-6 record at that beautiful ballpark in Los Angeles. And everything seems to be pointing that the Dodgers are en route to yet a seventh straight National League West Division title.
Number one.
And I tried to warn you early in the season. You didn't believe me. The best team in baseball is still the New York freaking Yankees. During their seven-game win streak, which was snapped on Sunday, the Yankees scored at least six runs in every game and averaged 8.5 runs. And they still don't have all their players back. The Yankees have won almost as many games on the road this year as they have at home, which is incredible. 17-8 on the road as of Tuesday. And here's the other one. The B-team Bombers, the backups are bidding to equal the Yankees' 2018 historic home run pace. They're hitting the ball out of the park without Stanton, without Judge. This Yankee team, bruised and battered, is the best team in baseball.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is Chris Perfett, and he tweets at me. Most teams go cheap after they win something, but the Indians went ahead and skipped a step, and now it shows. So much for contending. They'll finish second in the AL Central. That's like second place in the ugly contest. You placed, but why brag? If you want a chance to win like Chris, a new era snapback, send your trash to @RobParkerFS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in The Athletic's Julian McWilliams. Julian is a baseball head from Uptown Harlem, New York, and he covers the Oakland A's. Welcome to the podcast, Julian.
Rob, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Anytime.
And you are covering one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. The Oakland A's have run off basically 10 straight. They do have to finish that game in Detroit that they were leading, but basically they've won the last 10. What's turned around for the A's?
Man, it's kind of the same recipe as last year. They can hit, right? I think on that road trip, which started in Seattle and ended in Cleveland, which the one that you were at in Detroit, they hit 21 home runs on that road trip. And I think, you know, the top to bottom, they've been able to produce a lot of runs, you know, just in this time period. I think match that with their pitching. They've gotten a lot from their pitching from guys you never, you know, really haven't heard about. Chris Bassett, you haven't really heard about. Daniel Mingan, you haven't really heard about. Frankie Montas, that's he's turned into one of the better pitchers in the league, I think. After he's out of options. So they've gotten it across the board, man. Their bullpen hasn't been as great. They still have Lou Trevino, who's a fixture in there. They still have Blake Treinen, though. He's been a little bit shaky. He seems to be getting back on the right foot. Just all around, they're just clicking on all cylinders, and it seems to be going with their bats mainly with their bats, and then I would say with their defense and then their pitching.
And how about this? They've made this run without Chris Davis, basically, right? He's
right.
Currently on the 10-day injured list, and how are they doing this without their big home run slugger? He's the one who normally moves the offense.
Right. It's funny that you asked that. Like, we were making a joke yesterday because, you know, the whole thing in Oakland right now is can the Warriors win without KD? Like, can the Warriors win without KD, right? So now it's like they also call Oakland the A's KD. They also call Chris Davis KD. So
oh, okay.
Now it's like, can they win with why are they winning without KD? Do they need KD? Nah, but they definitely do need KD. Chris Davis, I don't think they'll be able to keep this up for that long. Obviously he has an oblique thing going on, but I think, and Aaron Judge, that those things kind of maybe take a little bit of time. They're just calling it a bruised oblique, but you never know. I think they've just been able to manufacture a lot of runs. They're getting it in a lot of unexpected places. You know, you look up and down the lineup, Josh Fegley, who hits in the nine spot, the catcher, he has 32 RBIs on the season. And he's hitting .282. Ramon Laureano, he's on a 10-game hitting streak. He's had five doubles in his past five games, or six doubles in his past seven games, or something like that. Jurickson Profar, he hasn't been hitting that well, average-wise, but he also has 30 RBIs. They've been able to manufacture runs at the top of the lineup and then at the bottom of the lineup, and it's kind of been the stabilizing force so that they'll be able to create a lot of run support. I remember I was looking at a stat yesterday that said that they scored 30 runs since May 13th in the seventh inning or later. They pounce on you, man. And when this offense is going, especially with the power that they got, they're lethal.
Let me ask you this. We already know the A's have been able to somehow, some way, with a low payroll, be able to make the playoffs. But the playoffs always seem to be the dud after they get in.
Right. Yep.
This is why I don't understand why other MLB teams follow the A's lead. I get the analytics. I get all that. And that you can win without having these star players. But they're like next to last in attendance, so people aren't showing up. And then they can't make a run or win. You know, they haven't been able to win. Does it make sense? It's kind of weird. Okay, this formula works during the regular season, but people don't want to show up to watch the team play the way that they play. And yet, because everybody always says winning cures everything, but people don't show up in Oakland. It's a fact. So how do you fix this?
You know, I remember being at the wild card game last year in New York. And I remember being on the field and looking at the A's players, then looking at the Yankees players, and I'm like, "Oh, these are some dudes over there over for the Yankees." It's just night and day,
right?
Right. And so, like, I think it comes a point where talent wins out, right? Like, you look at, you know, I don't like really making like cross sports references because I know this is a baseball podcast, but you look at somebody like, I don't know, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
Like, you're not going to win a title with Chris Middleton as your second best player. You're just not. Right? Like, so it's just kind of the same thing with the A's. Like, yeah, it's cute in the regular season and people will talk about it, but eventually you need those Aaron Judges. You need those Luis Severinos. You need those Mookie Betts of the world to be able to get it done. I looked at the Red Sox last year, and just from top to bottom, they just had the best team.
And speaking of Boston, congratulations are in order. Starting on Friday, you start covering the Boston Red Sox for the Boston Globe. That you got to be proud to land that job.
It's been an incredible ride, and I'm looking forward to being able to bring that over to the Boston Globe as best as I can and bring out the best content as best I can.
All right, Julian, my man, Julian McWilliams from The Athletic. Congratulations. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
It's so obvious why Major League Baseball is better than the NFL and the NBA. There is no better quality time that you can spend with somebody. The weather's nice, you go sit out at the ballpark, and you spend 3 hours, imagine, being able to talk and catch up and watch the ball game and have a hot dog and a beer at the same time. No other place can you spend that kind of time with a friend or a family member. A football game, you're watching back and forth, there's very little time to talk. Same goes with an NBA game. You got to pay attention all the way through. You can't talk. Baseball, I can talk and watch at the same time. Thanks for joining us. Rob Parker out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.